The following program is presented by the Nerdy Show Podcast Network. Geeky programming for all nerds across the multiverse. All Nerdy Show programming is made possible by A Comic Shop, Orlando's number one comic shop and nerd destination, and with the generous support of listeners like you. For more Nerdy Show podcasts, community forums, and learn how you can support this and other Nerdy Show programming, visit nerdyshow.com.
Here tonight with Dan Perrin, who's creator, writer, artist of Kevin Keller at Archie Comics. And I'm also here with Brian.
Hello.
So, Dan, there was a couple of things that I was doing some investigation, of course, before interviewing you. Mm-hmm. And I saw that you went to the Joe Kubert School.
I did.
So how many years, like, what was that like for you?
It was great. It was great. Because, you know, growing up as like a comic book fan, that's like the place, you know, all the geeky kids, all the geeky comic book fans want to go to. All the aspiring artists. So yeah, I went there in back in 84, and I went there for 3 years. It's a 3-year program, and yeah, I graduated in 87, and yeah, it was really the best place to go. It really was, because all of our teachers were, like, you know, professionals.
Right.
Joe Kubert, we had Bill Sienkiewicz,
wow.
Greg Hildebrandt taught painting, and we had some great, great teachers.
Oh, Hildebrandt taught painting? Oh my God, yeah. That's amazing.
I mean, you can't do better than that.
Really? I went to the Kubert School for a stint.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I tried it out. I did it for a year, and it was cool and everything. And I was just a little arrogant. I wound up working for Harvey Comics, which doesn't exist anymore.
I was obsessed with Harvey Comics.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, that was my first reading was Richie Rich.
Yeah. Yeah. Mine was like, you know, and that was the first stuff I read was Richie Rich and Casper and like Hot Stuff and then Archie at the same time.
Now Archie owns them, right? Or is Disney? Who owns them?
I don't think anybody owns.
I heard, right? They were just bought out by, they were owned by Classic Media for a while, who owns like, you know, Heckle and Jekyll and all those kinds of those old cartoons. And then I heard DreamWorks just bought Classic Media.
Oh, wow.
So I guess DreamWorks is the parent company now that owns them. So maybe they'll do something with them now.
Yeah.
Oh, that would be so cool.
Another Richie Rich movie, because they made one of like
Yeah, they made a couple.
Yeah, with Macaulay Culkin, I think, did the first one, right?
Right.
Yep. And they made one that was straight to video.
Of course.
Oh, that's terrible.
Yeah, it was. But it wasn't very good, no.
So, okay, when you graduated Kubert School, you went right to Archie right afterwards, or did you do something in between?
I went right to Archie.
Wow.
In third year of school is when they start to, you know, like different companies come and look at portfolios.
Right.
And look at aspiring artists and see if anybody they want to hire. And I had actually Victor Gorelick from Archie was looking at portfolios. And of course, I was already an Archie fan, so I had already done some sample pages. And he came and he looked, and actually it was at the end of my third year, I actually started doing like single pages for them while I was still in school.
Wow.
And then after graduation, I was talking to Victor, and then one of the guys was getting done up in the art department. He was going to go freelance, and they asked if I wanted to work in production. So I said, of course, yes. So it was great because I worked, you know, I had a day job, and then at nighttime I was doing freelance.
Oh, wow.
And that all started like 2 weeks after Kubert School graduation.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, the timing was really, really good. And at the same time, I actually was lucky enough to have a job offer from Hallmark, too. So I had to choose between Archie and Hallmark. And I guess I made the right choice. but you know, at the time, it was like, you know, Hallmark was a big company and they took care of you. But they were in Kansas City.
Oh, wow. Would you have
Archie
you would
was
have
here
to
in
move?
New York. Whereas, like, you know, where my whole family's on the East Coast, so that was a big factor, too.
Now, how long were you dual jobbed, or how long, I guess, before you were able to go full-time freelance?
Okay, I started in Archie in 87. God, I'm really old. And I, one, in the early 90s, like 91, 92, I went freelance. I went to 3 days a week. And then in 1996, I went full-time freelance because I just couldn't keep up with the commuting and then the working at night till, 2 in the morning. It was just getting to be a bit much. So they basically told me, they were like, you just go freelance. And I was like nervous at first. They weren't going to give me enough work, but they did. So it worked out.
Wow, that's fantastic. Oh, good for you. Wow, it's so nice to hear like somebody who's like right out of school going right into their career,
Yeah, I mean, it was, it was, it was a matter of timing, a lot of luck, there's a whole bunch of factors that played into it, but yeah, it worked out really well because that was my biggest fear. I remember that was like the biggest fear of like, oh my God, I got to pay back these student loans. How am I going to do this? And that worked out really well.
Wow, you're a lucky one.
Yeah.
So now do you consider like the Archie, like this is your dream job? Like you've reached your dream,
Yeah. I mean, not that I want to pack it in now and say I've done it, but it was where my goals were. Like I knew, I was a big comic, a big superhero fan growing up. When I was really young, I was into like the Harvey and Archie stuff.
Right.
Then I got into all the DC and Marvel stuff, and I liked it. And I kind of tried doing it in school, but my style always kind of gravitated towards the Archie stuff. It was always never really realistic, but it was never really cartoony either.
Right.
So Archie was a really good fit for my style. And so I just sort of, that was sort of my goal. I had that in mind my third year was, I think this is like Archie would be a really good fit for me.
Right.
And of course I was still always a fan. And yeah, it was my dream job. And, it's been really, yeah, listen, 27 years later almost. So I better like it.
Right.
So you've been really, through Archie's kind of evolution in the last, I don't know how many years, where they seem to have taken a lot more of a socially progressive slant. Did you see that as you were in the trenches doing the work, or was that something that was, you were just around so much that just kind of, over time you're like, hey, things are getting a little more progressive here?
Well, it helped. Things really changed when John Goldwater took over as CEO. And that was about 6 years ago now. And for all the years that I worked there, that we were under Richard Goldwater and Michael Silberkleit were the two owners, and they both died within a year of each other in 2008. So then the company was in a little bit of a turmoil, figuring out how to get grounded again. So they John Goldwater came in and took over for his brother, and John was just very progressive is the best word I can think of, but he's younger. And, when he came in, he saw what a lot of us saw who worked there, was that, Archie had been kind of stagnant for a while. And I was the first one to agree with that. As much as I loved working on Archie, I felt that for like the last 10 years, we'd really just been spinning our wheels. We hadn't really, the characters had been kind of watered down. And it just felt like, as much as I love to draw them still, it did feel like we really needed to, do something. And, John was like, the first thing he was, first thing he, when he came on board was like, okay, give me all your ideas. What do you want to do? He's like, we need to, move Archie forward because we're, a lot of our mentality was still like, it was still like 1960. So he was very open to any like new ideas. And he's always, his motto is sort of like, if it's a good idea, we'll do it.
Now, during this meeting, did you approach him about Kevin Keller then, or that was later on?
It was a little later on because when he first came on, we were doing the first thing was just to sort of like revamp the look of things, do some more graphic and dynamic covers, that kind of stuff.
Right.
And then he asked for story ideas, and the first one I gave him was doing Archie dating Valerie from Josie and the Pussycats.
Right. That was
the first one in the meeting. And then Kevin Keller was right after that. And I was like, the country's moved so far forward and you're seeing gay characters in all kinds of media. We could do a gay character. And John was like, yeah, we could do it. And then we were talking about it and we were aware, sometimes in other publishers would kind of throw a gay character out there just to get some attention, and then it would kind of go away.
Right.
And John was like, well, you know, we want to do a character that's going to stick. We want to do like a character that's going to be part of Riverdale. You know, so we really, the first story with Kevin Keller, we really had to do it right. In fact, we weren't even sure at first, you know, we decided to do a gay character. We're like, well, will it be a boy or a girl?
Oh, wow.
And then I was like, well, I just for story reasons, it worked out to be Kevin and it'd be a boy because I was working on the Veronica book and, I had come up with the idea of Veronica, you know, having the hots for this gay guy who, you know, she doesn't know is gay, but she's so oblivious to everything.
Right.
And him not returning the favor. So that's really where like the whole idea came about.
Right. Now, what was easier? Was it easier to do, as far as feedback from the public, the race with him and with Archie and Valerie, or bringing Kevin Keller? Like, what was the easier one that the public related to?
Well, probably the public related more. It was let you know, the Kevin Keller edition got more, I guess, coverage, you could say.
Right.
More. There was probably more, you know, a little bit more of a you know, resistance to Kevin, just because there's still so many pockets of the country that, you know, aren't quite ready for it. And there was a lot of people who were like, well, you know, we weren't Marvel or DC. We were Archie, and we still published children's comics.
Right.
So there was that whole thing about, you know, Archie's for kids. Why are they, you know, bringing in a gay character? There might have been a little resistance in that. And but then once the Kevin character came out, you know, the thing that people don't understand is that, you know, our books, you know, we don't show people having sex, straight or gay.
Right.
And, you know, first thing we know there were some, like, you know, we wanted a word of advice I have is never read what's on blogs because people go crazy on those things. And, you know, when we first said Kevin was coming out, you know, then, you know, you see these things on blogs like, you know, oh my God, was there gonna be like an orgy and Pop Tates now? and like, well, really, like, does that happen with like gay people? They walk into like restaurants and have orgies. Like, you know, it's the mentality that just because we have a gay character would result in like random reckless sex is just crazy. So there was this weird like mindset like that. But you know, once we introduced Kevin as a normal red blooded teenager, then, you know, I think, you know, people understood where we were at.
Right.
And then as far as the Kevin, I mean, the Archie and Valerie romance, it did get some attention because we had never really done it before.
Right.
You know, and that was another thing too. I tried to have Archie dating an interracial character or a black character before, but the reason we never did it before was because my old bosses would always say, well, you know, I'm not against it personally, but some people in the Midwest might not like it. So let's not do it. Like, you know, they were so worried of offending a small percentage of the country, but that was one of the reasons that we were held back from doing so many things. I've had a few people who've made comments about Archie Valerie, you know, and once again in blogs too, like you know I don't think it's right, you know, there's still that mindset. Wow. That Archie should not be dating a black girl, but it's not usually people who I really know associate with. But I've had people come, a couple of people come up to me at comic conventions and accused me of like having this like really like liberal agenda.
Oh wow.
And you know, they're not going to buy the comics because of that. And, you know, what can you say?
Oh my God.
What can you say to that?
That's shocking that they would take the time out of their whatever schedule at a comic convention with all the positive energy and all the fans, you know, having their fan moments to take time to come tell you that. That's so sad.
It's pretty rare that it happens. It's true. People come up to me at a convention, it's usually for, you know, because they want to be there. They don't usually come up and insult me.
Right.
But like in that case, it was a guy who, I remember the guy really well. It was in MegaCon in Florida. And he came up to me and he was like, you know, yeah, I don't like what you're doing. I'm not going to be buying the books anymore. And I don't really think he was buying the books anyway.
Right.
So that was the impression I got. Yeah. But you know, for every negative, like with Kevin Keller, I think when we first, you know, announced Kevin, we lost like 8 subscriptions or 7 subscriptions. That was it.
Wow.
And then we gained like thousands more.
Oh, sure.
That's fantastic.
So that's a good trade off.
Right. Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah.
And then, you know, every once in a while, you know, you're at a convention, Like at my booth, it doesn't happen because people know who I am and that I created Kevin. But if I'm at the RG booth and people come up and they sign stuff, and so every once in a while I'll see them, like they'll look at a Kevin book and they'll be like, oh, that's the gay character. And they'll kind of just kind of like walk away a little bit. Mm. But that's 1 in 100 people. But, you know, the great thing with that that's happened is just to see, you know, first of all, kids love Kevin, and a lot of parents like their kids reading the Kevin books. And you hear kids talking about, oh, you know, Kevin, he's breaking up with this boyfriend, he's getting another boyfriend. And they talk about Kevin now like they talk about Archie and Betty and Veronica. So that's like the plus side.
That's the great side.
Yes.
Well,
yes.
I mean, it's so rare to find media, popular media these days, that holds up, you know, positive gay role models that doesn't get salacious. You know, I mean, television, you know, there may be like one or two fleeting characters here or there. But, you know, other than that, movies typically don't have that. You know, right. Comics, like you said, they're a flash in the pan, and then the characters are either killed off repeatedly by Wolverine or, yeah. They just swept under the rug. So, I mean, that this institution like Archie that's such wide reach into all of the parts of the world that may not have comics and comic stores otherwise, that you have this positive gay role model is got to be huge for, I mean, just think back when I was in high school, if I had had I read Archie too. I was a big Archie fan. And if I had had a gay character that I could see was normal and not like crazy sex fiend, you know, I mean, right. That would have been amazing to me.
All right. I had was Stephen Carrington from Dynasty.
Oh, my God. Oh, that's right.
Right?
Oh, my God.
The one that went back and forth with Sammy Joe, not with Sammy Joe.
Yeah, right. I think I remember, like, the writers couldn't make up their mind or their network couldn't make up their mind.
Yeah, one season he was gay, he was with Luke. The next season, here comes Heather Locklear again.
Do you remember the big – on Melrose Place when they had the big gay kiss on that show?
Yes. Oh, my God. And I used to love that show.
They made a big deal about it. And then when it finally aired, they kissed from like 300 feet away.
Yep.
I mean, it was a big deal, I guess, that they let the character continue to be gay and date. But like, yeah, when they had that, they made this whole big news media splash about this kiss. And then it was like, yeah, it was basically you needed like binoculars.
Right. Did they? I'm not sure.
I know.
God, I remember all that stuff. So now, do you read any comics? Like, are you reading anything from DC, Marvel, you know, outside of Archie stuff?
Yeah, I read. I buy them and they pile up.
Like everybody else, right?
I get to some of them. You know, I was reading like pretty much any Superman stuff I always buy.
Nice.
And I read half of that. And certain Batman titles. I mean, like, I'm a big DC guy. I really liked Legion of Superheroes growing up and Justice League. And I was reading the new Justice League, like the new 52 one for a while.
Uh-huh.
That's kind of fallen off on that. But I read like, you know, I still read Love and Rockets, even though it only comes out once a year. any of like the Fantagraphics stuff I like. Growing up, it was like, yeah, well, I liked Daniel Klaus a lot, 8-Ball. That was like one of my favorites.
Oh, yeah.
But right now, I'm just trying to think. There's nothing really that hooks me. Walking Dead, I buy that. You know,
I love Walking
everyone
Dead.
Watches that. Watches it. But yeah, just the big DC stuff. But like right now, I'm not really into a lot of the new 52 stuff so much. So
did you check out Greg Pak's Action Comics?
You know, I picked it up, but I haven't read it yet.
If you I'm at my core, like Superman is my hero, and like that. Just is exactly what I want, you know. I mean,
that's good.
It touches on all the old stuff, but not being a retread. I mean, it really is very new, but it's not dark and depressing and angsty as much. So,
oh, good. I'm looking forward to reading it. I did pick it up. I like Greg. I see him in a lot of shows, and he's a really nice guy.
Yeah, he's pretty awesome. I think my other show, Comic Book Bears, actually might be interviewing him soon because he's doing this project with Jonathan Colton. Indie songwriter. Anyway, it's going to be interesting. But so have you had the indie bug? Have you had any ideas that you want to do outside of Archie, maybe with Image or any of the other indie publishers?
I always want to. I'm always looking for the time to do it.
Yeah.
Like, you know, back in the 90s, I was able to do a lot of like kind of, you know, fun offbeat comics that, of course, that, you know, they weren't big sellers, but they were fun. Like I did like these weird romance comics and sci-fi comics. They're just like a lot of fun. And but the only stuff I've really done is, I mean, I worked for Felix the Cat for like 20 years too.
Oh wow!
When I was working for Archie, so like when I was working for Archie, I was working part time also for Felix in office and at home. So I was also doing working on the Felix comics, and I was doing Felix licensing, where I was like designing the T-shirts and a lot of merchandise, and that was fun too. That kept me busy. Like right now, I was just, you know, I'm going to be doing some like just variant covers here and there. I wanted to do like a Kickstarter project, but I have to either stop doing conventions or I have to, something's got to go.
Chris, you're in every convention. I always see you posting.
22 conventions this year.
Oh my God.
Well, don't, if you're going to kill some conventions, don't kill Heroes. And MegaCon would be great too. But after your experience down here, I don't know.
Oh, MegaCon. I love MegaCon.
Okay, good.
Oh,
good,
yay.
Good.
Oh, it's great. Oh, I love MegaCon. I'll be there in March. In fact, that's my first show this year.
Okay, good. Well, we love to see you at MegaCon since that's
It's great. It's a great show. Just like I said, I had that one incident, but you know, that's
nothing. Florida.
That's Florida. Yeah. Now, I have to ask you, how much involvement do you have with like, the other titles that you're not? Do you like specifically Afterlife with Archie, which is an insanely great idea that is insanely well executed, and I'm just so thrilled that it exists. Mm-hmm. Have you had any, like, have you done a variant cover? Have you had any kind of involvement with that? Or
I wish I could say I did, but I have no involvement with it except the fact that I love it.
Yeah.
And I'm good friends with Roberto, who writes it.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, yeah.
And he's doing such a great job on that. I worked with Roberto on the Archie Meets Glee crossover. He writes for the Glee. It's funny, because Roberto writes for the Glee TV show, and then he does all this like cool horror stuff too.
Yeah. Well, that Glee crossover was epic. I mean, just totally classic crossover, like DC Earth 1 or 2 sort of meeting, but with all this kind of smart meta commentary and stuff. So I don't know actually if I've seen Kevin show up in the Afterlife. I guess he will.
He's going to.
Okay, good.
Although, I can't tell you what's going to happen. I do know what's going to happen with him. I do know that much.
Oh, do you really? Yeah. Is he going to be a survivor? That's all I need to know. Is he going to be a fighter?
You'll have to see.
Well, no, I was thrilled to see that they actually implied that a couple of the Riverdale residents were lesbians.
Yeah, Ginger Lopez and Nancy.
I was just like, oh my gosh, this is... And there's a couple other implications and innuendo in those stories that I'm just like... This is Archie. I mean, not that Kevin Keller's not, you know, grown up, but certainly it's very, you know, it's Archie. It's through and through. It's Archie Comics.
Mm-hmm.
And this Afterlife thing is something new. And again, I love it. But it's definitely got some adult sort of themes going through.
Oh, definitely.
Not to mention the horror.
Especially the thing with, you know, they have Cheryl Blossom and Jason had this weird relationship too.
Oh, my God. That was interesting. So,
but we definitely, I know they're definitely marketing that for adults, and they're trying to make it very like clear to people that, you know, this should not be with the on the kids rack with the kids Archie comics. They should be in the adult section.
Yeah, but then it gets lost because the retailers, I think, just think it's a, you know, it's a weird hybrid, you know, thing. But
we rack it by The Walking Dead.
Oh, that's perfect.
So far, so good. I guess it's been pretty successful in the way the stores have displayed it, because every store I've been in has had it with. The you know, Marvels and DCs, and that's definitely obviously it's not a book you want your 7-year-old to pick up.
Yeah, no. And most parents that come into the shop are oblivious, and kids just grab stuff. I'm like,
right.
You should go through that first.
Yeah, it's a great, really great project. God, I love it.
Oh, that's
but
so
I've done nothing with it. I would like to maybe I'll do a variant at some point.
You should. I mean, it would be fun to see your take on it.
Mm-hmm.
So as far as like, okay, so you won a GLAAD award and you were nominated for Harvey Award. Now, is this just for just the Kevin Keller, or were you that's for the GLAAD, but were you nominated for the Harvey for Kevin or for the other works that you've done as well?
For the GLAAD award was for the Kevin comic.
Right.
The Kevin series. The GLAAD award was for outstanding humor cartoonist. So, but it was for Kevin. But Kevin was mentioned in it. So I think it was a special award for humor in comics.
Right.
But you know, it was still based on Kevin Keller, I think.
Right, because you write and you write and you draw and you do it. You pretty much do it all. It's like, what was when you went to the Cuba school? You started off with the art aspect, and did writing follow?
Yeah, I started just drawing. I mean, we had to do writing in the school a little bit on our assignments, but yeah, I mean, I started at Archie, and then was just drawing as much as I could, and then started writing more when I was there 2 years, and they asked us to come up with some ideas for new titles at the time, and I came up with about like six ideas, and they all failed except for one.
Wow, that's not bad.
Well, it's not too good, but I was just starting out. So I started writing a couple of those titles, and that's where the writing started. And then even when those titles kicked the bucket, I kept on writing after that. And then the first big thing I wrote was in 94, we did this thing called Love Showdown.
Okay.
And that was the first time where we did this big storyline where Archie was going to, like, you know, dump Betty and Veronica and pick someone else. And then it got a lot of press coverage. Like, that was like the first time I think we got like a, you know, got mainstream media, like a lot. It was all over the place. It was like on the, you know, like morning news shows and the USA Today newspapers. It was all over the place. And what happened was he ended up picking Cheryl Blossom.
Oh, the lesbian?
Well, yes. she wasn't out yet.
Okay.
So Cheryl was the big pick. And then that kind of brought Cheryl back into the Archie world because Cheryl had been gone for a decade.
Right.
So Cheryl came back and had her own series for a while. And it kind of propelled her to being a popular character for a while. But that was like my first big writing thing that I got noticed for.
What do you like both equally? Or are you fond of more of the drawing aspect, more of the writing aspect?
I mean, I like both a lot.
Okay.
I really like to have the creative control to draw what I write. But I mean, I think I always am an artist first. It's close. I really love to do the writing too because I love the characters and I know the characters so well at this point that they feel like old like family at this point. And I especially with Kevin too. Like that's they've let me really create that whole his whole world too. So it's. It's fun. It's fun. It's fun to create new characters. It's fun to shake things up in Archie because, it's the same characters and a lot of the same plot lines, but there's a lot you can do with the characters.
Right.
So it's fun being able to do both.
Okay. Do you also color or you just stop with the drawing?
I do color my covers.
Oh, wow.
My covers, I usually do the whole thing. I, pencil, ink, and color those.
Oh, my God.
Do the whole thing. So yeah, I do that. And then sometimes I'll do like interior, like one shot, like splash pages or fashion pages or something. And I'll do those too. But the stories, I don't have enough time to ink and color those. So we have, inkers and colorists who do that. Yeah. It's, they let me, they've been really, I've done a lot of covers in the last, since John came on board, he's let me kind of, Fernando Ruiz and I do like pretty much almost all the covers.
Wow, it's good that somebody somebody young and came in and had a whole like view of like refreshing the whole Archie franchise, and it sounds like it's super successful.
Yeah, I mean, when I started there, I was really young and I was 23 when I started there. So yeah, it was like now I'm 50, so it's like God, where do the years go? But I still, the last 5 years though have been the most exciting years I've had there.
Right.
So even though I've been there forever, I really feel like it's just kind of like started.
Right.
It really started when John, I think when John Goldwater came on board and gave us this creative energy, it really feels like, we're really starting over again.
Right. Wow. That's so great that somebody else, that he came on board and gave everybody that freedom to come up. Like, with other people throwing as much ideas out there, or yours is just popular that I just happened to hook on because Kevin Keller was gay, or is there other stuff that I'm missing?
Well, the Archie Valerie thing really took off. They've done a few other things that have done well that weren't quite as high profile, but have done well. They did like a couple of graphic novels that were successful with Little Jinx, who's been around forever in the Archie comics.
Right.
They did one where she was like a teenager. And that's done pretty well. And I know, of course, they do Sonic and Mega Man. That stuff's really successful. They've done like crossovers with them. And
oh, yeah, that big world collide was a huge success.
Yep, that was really, really successful. And the thing that really got the ball rolling was And I didn't work on this, but it was the Archie wedding, the Life with Archie series.
Was that the one that he had to choose? Right. Yes. Right.
That was the one where he married. Well, the one where that we announced he was getting married, and then we did like we kind of didn't tell people who he was marrying.
Right.
Well, we announced he was marrying Veronica. And that was kind of a strategic move because we knew people would be pissed off because there's more Betty fans than there are Veronica fans. Right. So we knew that like people would be outraged. And it was true because when we announced he was marrying Veronica, there was like all this big outcry. But then he married Betty too in the other alternate universe. So you could see what his world would be like with married to Betty and being married to Veronica. And that spawned the whole Life with Archie series, which is really successful. That's ongoing now. So that was the Archie wedding was the other thing. There was, you know, we got a lot of media attention on that and sales that we hadn't seen in years.
Yeah, I listened to a comics podcast and they were talking about Archie comics, which they had never talked about Archie comics before. Life with Archie and the whole multi. So is that what the series is now? Is it like a what's the DC thing? Elseworlds.
Yeah, I guess it's an alternate universe. It's set 5 years in the future.
Oh,
okay.
Oh,
God. Oh,
no. because the character Archie has to be old enough to be married.
Oh yeah.
Oh, that's true. Good point.
So it's and then there's one. You know, the book is split in two parts. There's like his, you know, the Veronica marriage and the Betty marriage.
Oh no.
So you sort of see each world going on, and yeah, and that's been going on since the wedding. That was like over 5 years ago now, but that was the thing that. That happened right as John was coming in. And actually, you know, I think they had planned it before he even came on board. But that was the first thing that happened when John came on board, is that wedding. And then from then on, we really tried to do, you know, just really just have more fun with stuff. You know, before we were doing like kind of the old stories, we started doing stories where we would get like celebrities who wanted to be involved in the books.
Oh, nice.
You know, we did one with like Michael Strahan wanted to be in an Archie comic. So we did that. Gene Simmons is a big Kiss fan, so we did Archie Meets Kiss.
Oh, I remember that one.
And that was really successful. And then like one of the editors knew Colby Collet, the singer, and she wanted to be in a Veronica comic, so we put her in a Veronica comic and had this whole issue with her in it. And you know, if we just we're having kind of like just really having more fun. Like kind of like stuff that we should have been doing for many years.
Right.
And
well, you knew you had the freedom to do it now, whereas before you had to worry about the sort of middle America, are they going to accept this? Are they going to freak out, you know?
Yeah, even like something like Kiss. Like, I don't even know if the old management would have let that fly. I mean, probably they would have. It's not that. But, you know, they may have thought, you know, somewhere in the, you know, in the Midwest, they might look at that and freak out or something. I don't know.
They're devil worshipers. Well, I was taught they were devil worshipers.
Yeah.
Now, I think you guys
all thought that back in the day.
You right. reached your pinnacle with these celebrity crossovers, I must say, with George Takei.
Oh, of course.
And well, Kevin Keller.
That is, you're right. You can't, that was like kind of like the summit. You can't get any better than that.
Right.
That was funny because it came from, yeah, I met him at a convention. And he had, you know, I was telling him about Kevin. Of course, he was really thrilled about that. And he was a big Archie fan growing up. And it just sort of just, you know, came out of that. And then it was about a year later, and he was on Howard Stern's show, and he was talking about Kevin, but he couldn't remember Kevin's name.
Oh, God.
So I reached out to him through his Facebook page. And I guess his messages do get to him because it got to him.
Wow.
And then I connected him with Archie. And then we went back and forth and worked out the whole him being the guest star. And then we did a couple signings together, and you know, he's just like the nicest person alive. He really is. As nice as he appears to be, he's even nicer.
Oh wow.
Well, and talk about a career that, you know, he's had such a lengthy career, and yet only in the last like 10 years or ever since he really came out has that been such a huge success for him.
Yeah.
I mean,
I know. He's just, you know, he's his career is at a high point.
And he's 75. Our friends are 76 now. I guess our
76?
Friends.
76. Wow.
Our friends at Geeks Out in New York, they had a whole thing about, you know, when his birthday happened. And I mean, God, he is spry. And gets
he is
all over. Oh, I love him.
When I was talking to him, he was just like, you know, he's first of all, we're at the signing, and he's people from different, you know, nationalities are coming up to him. He can speak like five languages.
Wow.
So he's speaking all these different languages, and he's just very. Very sharp, and he seems like he's 20 years younger than he is.
Mm.
But just the nicest guy. His husband Brad is such a great guy too.
Mm-hmm.
And But that was a thrill. After that, I was like, well, I can't really do anything to top this, so I should just fold it. You know, pack it in now because I'm done. It's not going to get better than this.
I think if you got Elton John to sign off on a appearance, that would be maybe.
Elton John would be good.
Oh my gosh,
that would be really good.
But George, I still like. I don't think that would even top George. I've been listening to, you know, Howard Stern forever.
Right.
And he's like Howard's, you know, guest announcer a few times a year. Uh-huh. But, and with the weeks that George Takei is on there are always like the best weeks.
Oh yeah. Oh, I love him. I love him on that show.
Oh, it's so great. It's so great. And there's like nothing that phases him.
No.
Wow.
But no, he was really just a wonderful person.
Oh, maybe someday I'll get to meet him. At least talk to him for 5 minutes.
That's our dream. If we could get him to MegaCon one year, oh my God, I think we'd have to do something.
He does a lot of shows.
He does, and yet, I don't know, for some reason they've never lined that up, even when they had all the Star Trek people. But I mean, so good.
So I've seen him at several shows. You know, I think he was at about four or five of the shows this year that I was at. He was at Kansas City, which isn't a big show.
That's wow. True. Weird. Yeah. All right. We'll have to talk to our MegaCon contact.
Yeah.
Get him to come here.
Definitely.
Thank you so much for being on the show. And, you know, I'm so proud that you've created this character that's skyrocketing in sales, that's becoming so mainstream, this gay character. And I hope you're proud of what you've done and what you've done. You know, for the kids, to have these kids actually grow up with something positive, if not of what a lot of parents believe, like you saying that, you know, they're gonna go, they're gonna go to school and they're gonna be an orgy, you know.
Right. Yeah, I mean, you know, we all have Kevin Kellers in our neighborhoods, and you know, kids that are just normal teenage kids that are gay.
Yep.
And you know, I think, you know, this shows that. And another thing that's interesting too with Kevin is, I've had a lot of people come up to me and they've been like, you know, this is a really easy way to talk to my kids about gay people. Oh. This is in an Archie comic.
Right.
It's like an easy starting point. So we've kind of done the work for them a little bit.
Yeah. Wow. That's so true.
That's so good. Wow.
Thank you so much. I've enjoyed coming to see you at conventions throughout the last couple of years. And I hope to see you again at MegaCon in the spring. We'll definitely have our guys out and we'll come say hi. But
Sounds good.
Thank you so much for taking the time. We really appreciate it.
Well, I appreciate it too. Thank you. Flame off.
Thanks for listening to Flame On, a podcast made possible by Powder Milk Biscuits, the ones in the blue box, a comic shop, and the generous support of Tops and Bottoms like you. If you want to be one of our sugar daddies, you can help out by telling a cute single friend about us, reviewing us on iTunes, or putting some dollars down our digital G-string in our monthly support drive. For more ridiculously entertaining and socially enlightening episodes of Flame On, as well as other fine programs, head on over to nerdyshow.com. You can subscribe to Flame On and all Nerdy Show Network podcasts via iTunes. And be sure to find us on Twitter at Flame On Podcast or Facebook on our Flame On fan page. And make sure to check out flameonshow.com for more nerdy queer in your ear.